Praise the Lord. No one ever cared for us like Jesus, huh? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, I feel like I should lean this way this morning. Seems like everybody's moved to the other side here. Good thing this is on a solid foundation or the building would tilt. Amen. How many know we're on a solid foundation? The rock, Christ Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. How many are ready to get blessed today? Hallelujah. Not that you're not already, but we have a special treat today, and we're excited about that. We're not going to jump the gun here. We're going to make you salivate just a little bit. Praise the Lord. Let's open with prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time. And Lord, we thank you for the ministry gifts you've set in your kingdom, Lord. We're blessed to have Margaret, Pastor Justice, this morning, Lord. We thank you for them, and we thank you for the words that they have for us this morning. Father, we are so pleased to be able to support them, to see your work done and see your kingdom built in Bungoma, Kenya. Father, we ask your blessing on Doris, Lord. Continued health, strength, wisdom, and growth in you, Lord. Father, right now we just give you all praise and all thanks for this day. We've come to lift you up, to magnify you, to praise and to worship you, to give you all we have, Lord, which is us, the highest praise. Now, Lord, once again, we just surrender this time to you. This is your time. We are your people. And we thank you, Lord, right now for what's going to happen today. And we thank you that because the Holy Spirit's in charge, it's going to make great difference in us, in the kingdom, and in Pastor Justice and Margaret. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Today is a special day, amen? Amen. Because it's the day that the Lord has made, amen. Yes. And that makes every day a special day. We can get up in the morning. You hear people, they get up in the morning and they go, oh, I'm so stiff and I ache and I hurt and oh, I got to go to work. And they go on and on and on and on. All they need to do is change their perspective. Get up and say, this is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it, not moan and groan and be sad in it. Amen. We're to be joyful and happy with the day that the Lord has made. Glory to God. We have coming up, we have the men's breakfast at 8:30 a.m. location to be announced. Wherever that is, we will all be there. We will be conducting courses in eating. You may sign up for $5 a piece if you need a little help. Hallelujah. Normal location, wherever what is normal for that month. September Home Fellowship, again, will be at Kathy and Jerry's home. Looking forward to that and for the blessing that it will bring them as well. Again, let's always remember Wednesday night. We do good stuff on Wednesday night. We have fun on Wednesday nights. Wednesday night is a blessing. Amen. Hallelujah. Before we take up the offering, a little something else I want to do here. Let's pick up our contracts, our covenants, and turn to the fourth chapter of Philippians for a moment. The book of Philippians was written by the Apostle Paul to the church at Philippi as a thank you letter. It's not a book that was intended to set down great doctrine, as was the book of Romans, but it originated as a thank you letter. That doesn't diminish its worth or value by any means. Please don't take me wrong. It was just a different purpose. This was written as a thank you letter to the church at Philippi for supporting Paul's missions. And if we look at chapter 4, in verse 15, he says, "Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only." He's saying, out of all the churches, you're the only ones that are helping in my mission, in my ministry. And now look down to verse 19, and Paul tells them something here. One of the most famous passages from the Bible. Every Christian knows it. And all my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Why did he say that? Could it be because of what we read up in 15? You were supporting my ministry? You see, if we were to study this chapter out, we would find five truths in here about churches and about Christians that support missions. And those five truths are churches and Christians that support missions. First of all, they have a concern for others and for what others are doing. They're concerned about other ministries and what other people are doing to promote the gospel and to further the kingdom. Not just on themselves and what their own little corner of the world is doing. But these are people in churches who support what others are doing, knowing that in turn, them what they are doing will be supported. Churches that support missions, they find their contentment in the Lord. They don't find their contentment in their programs. They don't find their contentment in their attendance numbers or how big their budget is or anything else. They find their contentment in the Lord and what the Lord is doing through them. For number three, churches that support missions are committed churches. They support missions because they believe in missions, because they are committed to missions, and they're committed to staying committed. Because, you know, when times get a little tight, as they do sometimes, you know, a lot of times people sit down, they look at the budget, they look at the money, and they start thinking, where's this money going? Maybe we should think about not sending so much out to missions. This, that, or the other things. Churches that are committed to missions stay committed to missions. Churches that support missions, they have a credit with the Lord. You know, we have an account. We have a heavenly bank account. Amen. You know, store up your treasure in heaven. And churches that support missions get credit into that account from three things. From every fragrant offering, every acceptable sacrifice to the Lord is a deposit into that account. And then everything that is good and pleasing to the Lord. So there's three ways the churches who support missions just continually are depositing into their heavenly bank account. How do you save money? How do you make a bank account grow? You take a set amount every month, every payday, goes into the bank. Amen. Next thing you know, you got more than you could ever imagine. And number five, the biggie, churches that support missions. People who support missions exist to see God glorified. Amen. That is their end objective, to see God glorified. Not them, not the church. See God glorified, the kingdom grow and the gospel spread. Amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. So, you know, this church is committed to missions. And that is such a blessing. It is just such a blessing to hear, to have persons such as yourselves come in here and show us the things that God is doing through you. And it just blesses us to no end. We had, I think it was about a year ago, we were in here on a work day. And we had this young lady from China. Who she came walking through the door. She said, I just saw you were here. So I wanted to come and meet you and meet brothers and sisters in Jesus. And she was a young lady from China who was just walking up and down the street preaching to anybody who would listen. And she came in here. She was such a bundle of joy. She just brought such a light in here with her. It was just wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. So every year we do something. We're going to need those pictures, Patrick. To raise some funds to support missions. And the last year's past, we've done a bake sale. This year we decided to do something a little different, and we ran a garage sale. In fact, we ran this garage sale for 3 days over 2 weekends. As you can see, God blessed us with abundance. Because every member of this church participated in this garage sale. Some gave, some worked, but everybody participated. And so we did the second 2 days at Patrick and Donna's house. The first one that you saw was at our house. And boy, did we move a lot of merchandise out of there.
It looks like there's more there than there was at the beginning.
Well, but we started out, We had this shed at our house packed full of stuff. We had, it was just all over the place. And by the time we were done, we took a little trailer load over to the Ark and dropped it off as a donation. That's how much stuff we moved. But at the end of the second day on Saturday, about 1:30, we decided it was bag time. Fill a bag for $2, and Donna and Patrick are out there on the curb, they're waving the bags. Fill it up, $2 a bag. We got it down to $1 a bag, and people got blessed, and we got blessed. And, and it was just fun. It was a lot of hard work, but it was fun. It really was fun. So, as the proceeds from that garage sale, we raised a total of about $975 for missions. We elected that 20% of it would stay here to support missions locally, because that's very important, and then the rest then would go to our overseas missions. So, Justice Margaret, would you please stand up here with me? Elders, everybody, let's just all stand together, okay? There's no rank and file around here. So it is our very great pleasure to present Bagnoma Bible School with this check for $390.20 in support of your ministry. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Now, we want to lay hands on this. Amen. Glory to God. And we just thank you, Lord. We thank you, not for the dollars that is here, but for what these dollars are going to do.
Yes.
We thank you, Lord, for the word that will be spread, and for the souls that will be brought into the kingdom of heaven. And we thank you for people who will be fed and educated and sheltered and brought up into the love and the admonition of the Lord. We thank you for that, Lord, because these are just numbers on a piece of paper. But the return, the reward, the fruit that they're going to produce is something that we cannot even begin to measure in our human minds. So we thank you. And in the name of Jesus now, we just speak a blessing upon Justice and Margaret and Bagnoma Bible School, that every work you do will produce to some 30, to some 60, to some 100-fold. It will be good measure, pressed down, shaken together, overflowing. And we thank you that the Lord blesses you and smiles upon your ministry and your mission in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It is our honor and our duty as a church that supports missions. And we just thank you that the Lord has moved in such a wonderful and marvelous way. Amen.
Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you this morning for your presence, for your guidance, for the Holy Spirit. More than anything, Lord, we praise you for you, for who you are, what you did, what you blessed us with, Lord. Lord, we worship you. We don't worship the things, Lord, we worship you. You are worthy. You alone are worthy of all praise and all glory and all honor. Thank you this morning, Lord, for being here, touching, exhorting, comforting, building up, and edifying your people, Lord. For this we praise and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Be seated if you can. Praise God. It is my great privilege to have once again, and a blessing for me to be able to introduce to you, I want them to come, Margaret and Pastor Justice from Bungoma, Kenya, Bungoma Bible School. They're a blessing. They're doing a tremendous work. And we really love these people. And we always enjoy when they come and they speak. It's a blessing to have them here this morning. And so put your hands towards them, if you will. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this gift. And once again, we call on that anointing that you placed within them. Father, that you've ordered your steps, ordered their steps in your word. Lord, that you'll cause us to be blessed and cause us to have ears to hear. We want to know, Lord, what you have for us today. Thank you for using them. We give you blessing and praise and honor in Jesus' name. And all who agree, say amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. It's Margaret. I'd like to greet you.
Hello, everybody. Buona sifiwe.
Amen. Buona sifiwe.
At home, we greet saying Buona asifiwe means praise the Lord. So, can you say Buona asifiwe?
Buona asifiwe.
Buona asifiwe.
Buona asifiwe.
Amen. It's so good to be in the house of God this morning. The Bible encourages us every day, and the Lord tells us that where two or three are gathered in His name, He is there in their midst. And I'm happy that Jesus is here, God is here, the Father, and we are here to be blessed this morning. This is the day the Lord has made, and I feel good to be in the house of God. There is no other place you can find peace. There is no other place you can find joy. There is no other place you can find satisfaction. It's only found in the Lord. And when we come together, we encourage one another in the Lord. It is a blessing. The Lord is blessing us in Bungoma, and we thank God for what He's doing. Because in every step, when we call on Him, He has promised in His word that He will never let us down. And we have seen the faithfulness of God, and we thank Him for who He is. Thank you so much for having us, and may the Lord bless you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We are so thankful for having us, for the pastors to allow us to come again, and for the hospitality, Brother Patrick and Dana. They have really treated us well, and they have really blessed us. We've had a wonderful, wonderful time. Amen. And we look forward again to coming back. Amen. Amen. Thank you for all the blessings you are to us. I'll say, you know, over the years, the Lord has used you to be a blessing to us in Bungoma. Great work great things have taken place, and God has done great things or works in Bungoma. Not only in Bungoma, because through the students who have been trained in the Bible school, we have reached, trained several people from Southern Sudan, from Uganda, from Tanzania, from Congo, Eastern Congo, and from Rwanda. We have had so many students that we have trained and sent them back. Bungoma Bible School, like giving the story of which I know many of you know, Mama Doris Stotler. She was from Oklahoma, but she was living in Las Vegas. And on Easter Sunday morning, they went to church. She was not born again. They went to church. They were going for breakfast. Their son wanted to go to church. Someone was holding a church in a casino, in Circus Casino. So she went, the son said, "Mama, let's go to church." So they went to church. She didn't want to go, but she went. She sat at the back, and she didn't want to hear anything. But the preacher preached, and at the end, they sang the song, "He Touched Me." And when they sang the song, "He Touched Me," someone reached down on her shoulder and touched her. And when she turned around, there was no one. Then she knew it was the Lord who had touched her. And she gave her life to the Lord. And she gave her life to serving God and to going to missions. And that's how she went to Hawaii, to Sri Lanka, to India. And then she came to Kenya. And so when she came to Kenya, we connected with her that same time when she came in 1987. And we were living in a small village called Namulungu, and we're driving one day in town, and she said, "We want to start a Bible school." She says, "The Lord told me to start a Bible school, and He said, start now." And she said, "Lord, I don't know anything about Bible schools," and the Lord said, "I do." So, and that's how we started the Bible school. Amen. So she sent me to America to come here for Bible school for 1 year, and went back, and in 88, and we've been serving the Lord ever since. Great things have happened through that ministry. Most of the pastors in Bungoma have been trained through Bungoma Bible School. Most of the pastors surrounding have been trained through Bungoma Bible School. And many churches, more than 300 churches have been planted through Bungoma. Those are the churches we can count. But we've graduated over 2,000 students since we started. And from our church, the Word of Life Church in Bungoma, we have also planted 44 different churches around Kenya. And so great things are just happening. We have an orphanage with 29 children, 29 boys, one girl, and also we have street children. And so we're just so thankful and grateful for what the Lord is doing, and for you to be a blessing to us. What you do to us, or the support you send to us, is a very big support. It goes a long way. It does so many things. Many lives are changed through that. And so I would like to, I have a 2-3 minute video that I'd like just to see the pictures from Bungoma. And I'll continue to share from there. Thank you. Many lives have been touched and changed through the Bible School. We have this young boy called Moses. Moses was picked from the sugarcane plantation. Someone just dumped him. They threw him away. And when he came to the home, he had all this sores everywhere. And he was so afraid of everybody. And after some time, you know, ministered the love of Jesus to him. He's now maybe 4 years now, or five. He came when he was like less than 2 years. And we gave him the name Moses, because just like the Moses of the Bible, and we didn't know his name, so we named him. And he's just doing great. We have another boy, Joseph. We have two abandoned children there. We had three, one was adopted. And then we have two abandoned. And then the rest of our children are total orphans. And so we just thank God that, you know, God is able to touch them, and we're changing one life at a time. And we believe, you know, we have a boy we rescued from the street in 1990, I believe it was 94. In 94, we rescued a boy from the street. He was like 4 years old. He doesn't know where he came from. He doesn't know where his home is, his parents are, but we took him in. And now he's in high school. He doesn't know any other person. He just knows us. And we just thank God that, you know, we're able to touch that life. When that life is changed, glory is to the Father. Amen. And so I was out there and I was reading what you put out there on the last plug at the last. How we can share and show the love of Jesus, and the hand of God is through the church. And so we just thank God that's the way, one of the ways of reaching out and touching lives and changing lives. So I can go on and on and on, and miracles that God is performing for us in Bungoma. We've been having some serious challenges, but we thank God that God is bigger than any challenge.
Yes, amen.
God is bigger than any problem. God is bigger than any need that we may have. Just like the Bible says that the mountains can be shaken and be thrown into the sea, but God remains to be God. Amen. He's a faithful God.
Yes.
And He's seen us through, and He's blessed us so much abundantly. Just like the blessing we've received this morning, we are just so grateful. That's a miracle. We were not expecting that. And we came, and here is a miracle. And so we're just thankful to God and thankful to you for your continued blessings and your continued support to our ministry. Hallelujah. So let me share with you from the Bible. And I know if you don't understand my accent, you go like that. I think you're understanding what I'm saying.
Amen.
It's getting okay. This is the church that I've always made mistakes. So I'm careful of not to make any joke or anything like that. So I'm careful. I've been coming here, and when you're on the other side, I remember one time I said something that I was not supposed to say. I thought I was just pronouncing a name, but I pronounced it wrongly, and everybody just laughed, and people were laughing. And when we went out to lunch, I asked Pastor Stan, why were people laughing? He said, no, you are not supposed to say that. So I'm careful. I don't say anything that I don't know. I just trying to say what I know. You know, just the way I can't make any joke in America, because any joke, my joke don't make any sense to the Americans. I can make a joke and every people go, what do you say? Like we were somewhere, we were talking, stay with the family, and we were talking, and as in the middle of talking, they just say, okay, let's go. They said, let's go. I said, what? What did I do? What did we do? They said, let's go. We left the family and said, so I reached home and asked, what was wrong? They said, you are not supposed to say that. I said, say what? What I said? And I said something, but we didn't say it the right way. We were trying to express it the way we know. But, you know, our words sometimes are backwards. Swahili words are backwards. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Asante Yesu. Thank you. Or you can, you know, Jesus, thank you. They are reversed. So when you say some things that just don't make sense. And plus, you know, we speak different languages. And so we thank God that we are able to do that. So I know I have a few minutes to share. Do I know how long? All the time I need? Never to say that to an African. Oh, you see. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you see, I have this big watch. And when I go to my wife says, it's a big, it's a wrist clock. Because I never know when to stop. But here, I will stop quickly, as the Lord will allow us. For blessed are those who speak short sermons or messages. They'll be invited back. So I'm going to share with you about the favor of the Lord. And these are the things that the Lord has been putting on our hearts as we share. We thank God for what He's doing in the church today. That, you know, even though there are many, many challenges going on in the world, but God is not going to leave His people. God is with His people. And God is with the church. And the church is to raise up, we are to raise up our eyes or to look up, because that's where our salvation comes from. We are to focus our eyes on Jesus, not to focus on the things which are beneath or the things which are down. If you look at the circumstances around, there's challenges everywhere, like where we come from. We have heartbreaking things every day. And most of my ministry I do, I spend a lot of time talking to people, and at the end of it, you know, I just go on and put on my music and worship the Lord, or I just reach home and we just sing, because it can be so stressful seeing the needs after need after need after need. And everyone that comes to you, they're coming to you because they went without food. This and this happened, and this and this is happening, and that is happening. But the hope that we have is in the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't have any other hope elsewhere. That's right. Because what we have sometimes cannot even help us. You know, you can have even food, you can have money, but there are things that money can buy. There are things that food can do, you know. There are things that these other lectures, or is it lectures? Like happiness, like luxury, that can meet some needs. Only Jesus can meet the needs of every heart. Hallelujah. He knows our coming in. He knows our going out. He knows our everything, and He understands better than any other person can understand. And so if we are to lean, we are to lean on Jesus. If we are to depend, we are to depend on Jesus. If we are to look for, we are to look for Jesus. Look up to Him. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. He's our everything. Hallelujah. So let faith rise within you. Allow faith to rise within you. Because God is not going to leave us nor forsake us. God is on the throne and is taking care of us. And if He can take care of the sparrows, can take care of the lilies, flowers, and He care for them, surely He cares for his people. Hallelujah. And so the Bible says in the book of Luke chapter 1 verse 26, and this is not, you know, the Christmas can be anytime. Hallelujah. And for us this Christmas, so you can read from about the promise and the birth of our Lord Jesus. And Luke chapter 1 verse 26 said that now in the sixth month the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a woman whose name was Joseph. Of the house of David, the virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David." Now, and goes on and on and on. But I want to get some things from there. That, you know, about the birth of Jesus, I'm thinking like an African, so I'm not thinking like America. So if I end up saying something that you relate to Africa, it's okay. Is it okay? Okay, I can't be an American because all my illustrations, all my thinking is I think like home. Actually, I even don't think in English. I don't think in English. I think in my mother tongue. Then I interpret in Swahili. Then I interpret in English. So, I have two interpretations to do before I say whatever I'm going to say. So if I say something and it doesn't make any sense, you know, just looking at this lady, this young lady from Nazareth, and she's planning to get married. Nazareth, you are picturing Nazareth as a village in Africa somewhere. Woo! Yeah. Actually, it's in Israel, but I'm picturing it, you know, like in the village, and this lady is planning to get married. She's staying pure and holy. She's engaged to Joseph, and she's planning for her wedding, and then there's divine intervention or interruption into her plans. And God sends an angel. And God sends an angel. An angel comes with good news. An angel comes with good news, and the angel says, greets Mary. And at the first greetings that he gives to Mary, he says, "Rejoice, Mary." You know, before God blesses you, before God fulfills a promise, you need to rejoice. You need to be expectant, expecting God to do something good to you. Always be looking forward to something from God. Because when we expect nothing, then nothing will happen. When we expect miracles, miracles will happen. When we expect God to move, God will move. When we come to church and we're looking forward for healing, the healings will take place. When we come to church and we're looking forward for God to move in our lives, for God to give us peace, to touch our lives, God will touch our lives. When we expect nothing, nothing will happen. When we expect great things will happen. Hallelujah. And the way to do that is to cultivate the atmosphere of expectancy. That even when God surprises you, he should surprise you when you are ready for him. When you are ready for the blessing. When you are ready to be touched by him. Preaching myself happy here. Amen. Hallelujah. And so he say, Mary, rejoice. Be happy. A miracle is going to take place. Rejoice. Be happy. You're wondering, what is this African talking about? Talking about Christmas? Yes, not talking about Christmas. I'm talking about the joy of the Lord. Yes. I'm talking about the favor of the Lord. Yes. You see, rejoice. You have to rejoice. You need to rejoice in everything. In everything, give thanks. Yes. In everything, rejoice evermore. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Don't allow the devil to steal away the joy of the Lord from you. Keep and maintain the joy of the Lord, the joy of Jesus, that even when things are not going the way you want them to go, Maintain the joy of our Lord. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Yeah. Hallelujah. Woo-wee. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. We have just to rejoice, you know. It's not because we have, not because of circumstances, not because we have money or we don't have money, not because we have this or we don't have that, but we maintain that joy, that even when you're not feeling like rejoicing, just rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. And I found out that joy is a decision that one makes. You know, you decide to be joyful. You can decide to be joyful and you can decide to be sorrowful. So it's just a decision you make. You choose to love. You can choose to love and you can choose not to love. You can choose to move. You can choose not to move. You can choose to get up. You can choose not to get up. You can choose. It's a choice. And so when circumstances are, you know, all of us, instead of putting your head down, you put your head high. You put your head high and you look upon the Lord. And you say, Lord, I'm not going to go down because of this. I'm depending on you. I'm looking up to you. And I'm not going to allow the enemy to steal my joy. No, he can't steal my joy. No, he can't steal my joy. Amen. We were in a crusade. I think maybe I might have given this testimony one time. But in a crusade, we had just powerful, powerful meeting. And people getting saved. I mean, miracles and people getting healed. People getting saved in a village. And then someone didn't like what we were doing. So they went and reported to the police. And the police came to arrest us. So when the police came to arrest us, most of the police chief knew that they were coming to interrupt a crusade. It was an outdoor crusade with hundreds of maybe 2,000-3,000 people there. It was big, and the police that were called, they were just called. They were told there was a riot going on this particular market. And so when they came, they were coming to disperse people. So they went to one police station and called. They called one group. And they went to another small station. They called all the policemen. They put them on a big truck. They came in, you know, all anti-riot gear. And when they reached, they arrived at the crusade, they just began beating people. They didn't know what was going on. Nobody was fighting. But they're acting on their orders. That you, when you get there, disperse everybody, beat everybody, disperse everyone. And so that's what happened that day. So they came and dispersed everyone, they beat up everyone and dispersed everyone. Now, you know, over there, there's nowhere to complain. If something like that happens, you can't complain anywhere. You can't go to the police anywhere, you can't go to court, you can't go anywhere. Things are different on the other side of the globe. And so that was a way of the enemy stealing our joy. We've been having this crusade for two, three days, and miracles and the crusade, the villagers have really come out because of they're just happy of what the Lord is doing. And our hearts are so charged because of what the Lord is doing, and we are planting a church in that particular market. And so what happened on that day is that the crusade was dispersed. And we are ordered not to continue with the crusade. And so we had to pack up our things and go back. And many people had been beaten. And it turned out to be a riot because now the villagers, instead of just dispersing and running away, they were so upset at the police and they began throwing stones to the police. Now it became a riot between now the villagers. Now it became real riot. Villagers and the police. And so it was a very bad scenario. It also did not give us a good name. It did not give us a good name at the end of it all. But we withdrew that night and we went to prayer. All the people who were in the crusade or minister of the crusade, we went to prayer that night and we just didn't go home. We decided to go somewhere to pray. And so we prayed the whole night. And the following morning we went to the police station to talk to them about the crusade and the senior officer who was above the commanding officer of that station allowed us to continue with the crusade. But at that night, there were a choice. I mean, there was were given an opportunity to either withdraw, go home sad, and say, Lord, We just don't know what happened. But we are not happy about what happened. But instead we decided to rejoice and to ask God. And we are going to continue with the crusade no matter what. And the crusade continued the following day. And the church was planted. And the church continued. And we count it all joy. When we go through diverse temptations. Yeah. When we go through various things, we count the great joy. Because when you go through it, it makes our Christian, our faith to grow and gives us a testimony that God was able to deliver us from that situation. And He's able to deliver us from this situation. And we are in another place, we're preaching the crusade. And when the preacher's just gotten up to preach and the hall is packed and the police knocks the door. And he knocks the door and says, where's the permit for this meeting? So we didn't think we need a permit to have church because the church is already licensed. And they brought a big lorry. They put in everyone and they took us out and they took us to the police station. We spent the night there. The following day, we were arraigned in court for preaching without permits. And we said, do we need a permit in church? So the way things work is you can either plead guilty or not guilty. If you plead not guilty, then you're going to be put back in cell. And then maybe your case will be heard 1 or 2 months later. So the way was just to plead guilty. You were found preaching without a permit. Say, yes, we are found. So we were fined and we were let go. They let us go. So joy is a decision you make that even through those circumstances, you decide that I'm going to be joyful. I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. I'm going to be happy. I'm not going to let the enemy steal my joy, no matter what. Amen. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. And so the angel, when he came to Mary, he told her, rejoice, Mary. A miracle is coming. Rejoice before even it comes. Rejoice before it comes. It began with rejoice. And then he says to her, you are highly favored. You are highly favored among all women. For the Lord is with you. You have found favor among women. You are going to conceive. And, oh Lord God Almighty, I like when I talk about conceiving. The church is conceiving a burden. People of God conceiving the burden for the Lord. Oh, the church people are conceiving the burden for the Lord. Yeah. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Because unless you conceive, you never bring forth. Hallelujah. There must be receiving seed for greatness, seed for miracles, seed of expectation. Yes. When a mother conceives, then they say she's expecting, she's expectant. Yeah. And in 9 months, it will come to pass. She'll bring forth. Hallelujah. So, the angel tells Mary, you have found favor. You have found favor. The church has found favor with the Lord. And no matter what, you know, the church will continue. Even in persecution time or persecuting time, the church will move on. The church will never be stopped by anything. The church is like a tennis ball. You bounce it on the wall and it bounces back. If the harder you bounce, the harder you throw it, the harder it will bounce back. Amen. We have seen that, you know, happening even at home in the villages where chiefs are standing, you know, they're trying to oppose the gospel. You go in a certain place, either the chief or a witch doctor in a place, and he just stands and says, no, nobody's preaching here. Nobody's preaching. It's his territory. You know, he doesn't want anyone to come in there. But the church can never be stopped. The church will move on. Amen. The church will move on. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. The church of the living God is moving on. Oh Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, I'm used to people amening me at home. So, just a favor, just go amen. Hallelujah. So, what happens with when favor comes? When favor comes, we look at what happened with Mary. That when the blessings of favor came upon her life, She received a supernatural promotion. She became the mother of our Lord Jesus Christ when favor came upon her. Now, she was just a righteous woman, holy, living a good life, and God favored her. Hallelujah. Favor will bring supernatural increase. Favor will bring supernatural promotion. That even people who are not known anywhere will become a people. People who didn't have the light of the gospel, they, when the grace of God, the grace of the gospel comes upon them, things change. I just thank God, you know, the way things change. We see, even at home, what has happened with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Everywhere it has gone, it has changed lives. You cannot stop it. And Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus because it is the power. It's the power of God that brings salvation. It's the power of God that brings deliverance. It's the power of God that causes changes in people's life. It's the power of God that heals and delivers. So, really, when we talk about the gospel, we are talking about God's transforming power. And I'm looking at it in this way, that you are somewhere in the village when someone does not know the Lord Jesus. They are in tradition, and you preach to them the gospel, and you just see the turnaround. They turn around and their hearts begin to connect with the Lord Jesus, and their hearts begin to connect with the Holy Spirit, and these people just changes, and the joy just begin to spring out, and they're never the same again.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. The gospel is the power of God that brings salvation.
Yes.
And Paul says, I'm not ashamed. And Paul also says that it pleased God through the preaching, the foolishness of preaching, to save those who believe.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So when favor comes upon us, favor is upon us actually. It's already on us. And we should not be afraid of what's going on. God is on our side and God is with the church. Amen. Hallelujah. Joseph in prison, the Bible says that when Joseph was in prison, God showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. In Genesis chapter 9 verse 21, it says, God gave him favor in the sight of the prison. Now, Joseph was thrown in prison because of false allegations. But how did he end up there? He had a vision, and this vision was to come. The vision we have for this era, the vision we have for this church, will come to pass. Yes, will come to pass. We'll reach out more people. We'll touch more lives. We'll reach out to more people. We'll touch more lives in the name of the Lord. I know that's at least the vision for every church. And you could be having a vision for doing something else. But the vision of touching out, like you are reaching out to missions and you are touching lives in Africa and India and Philippines and everywhere else in the world, that's a great vision. Hallelujah. And the enemy can't stop that which God has begun. Hallelujah. And so I'm looking at Joseph. And Joseph is in prison and God shows him mercy. God shows him mercy, gives him grace. Grace, every one of us, is what we need. It's what I need more than, I think more than anything else, I need more grace. I need the grace of God. I need the anointing of God over my life. I need the God's divine ability to enable me to do what I could not do on my own. Hallelujah. Because when grace comes, then I can speak. When grace comes, then I can share. When grace comes, then I can do things that I will not do on my own. Grace is God's ability and merited favor. Hallelujah. I'll give an example of the cars we have. You know, when you come to America, America is the land of cars. So it's the land of cars. I mean, you people have different kinds of vehicles and they have all kinds of cars. You're, woo, man, it's America. It's very different from where we come from. Everything's, even the water in the faucet is pressurized. Now you open, go, at home you open the whole thing and then just go, if you open the whole tap. And so what we've done with our house, we've looked for big pipes to allow the water in because the water does not have pressure. And so still, you don't have that pressure. Just things are different, you know, things are different. And then you have these cars that, vehicles that are, when they're going out, uphill, you have to be careful with them because you're not sure if they're going to roll back. So if a big truck is ahead of you, you try as much as possible to go around it or to stay away from it. Because it could be going and, and it begins to roll back. Or he just squeaking too much and smoking a lot. And that's what I don't see here. But at home, almost every car smokes. And there's a lot of smoke on the road. And I think the government, they don't know you're supposed to control that. Well, if the police was to chase people who have smoking cars, they'll have a hard time because then they'll be on foot and people will be on vehicles. Just like when you ask people to come and you ask the police, we had a broken in. Someone broke into our office, so we called the police. And the police asked, "Do you have transportation?" I said, "Yes, I do. Can you come pick us up?" So, so we went and picked the police. We brought them back, you know, the compound. They walked and they wrote some things. They said, "Can you take us back?" So we took them back. I said, "Why do we need the police then after all? It's like just to record a statement." But really, they were not. When there's emergency, there's not really emergency. Yeah. So, when the grace is there, instead of these squeaking cars, there's lubrication. There'll be grease, and there's no squeaking. Squeaking Christians, complaining a lot. God does not want us to complain, to be thankful and to be grateful for the family of God and for what God is doing. You know, we're not supposed to be squeaking cars, squeaking vehicles, squeaking trucks. When the oil and the grease is put in the ball joints and all that, the suspension system, then you have strong shock absorbers. And then when you hit the pothole, you people don't have potholes. I'm surprised that you drive along the way and they tell you, be aware of a bump ahead or a damaged road ahead. And then I slow down, and then I don't see it. We have these big potholes. You drive in, and you drive out. Or we have this big bump. I mean, those people know how to make bumps. They have this big bump, and on top of the bump, there's a big pothole on the top of the bump. You wonder, why do they have a bump? I mean, a pothole and a bump. Just remove the bump, you know. But we have it. That's how it is. So when your car hits a pothole, it really feels it. Everything shakes. And if you have any dust inside, you will see the dust inside the car. Your shock absorbers are okay. You hit it and you'll be okay. Christians who are full of the grace of God bounce over problems, go through potholes, hallelujah, and they'll not feel it as much because the grace is there. It's not they'll not know they're going through it. They know they're going through it, but they will come out on the other side victoriously because the Lord is with them. Hallelujah. I need to stop. Hallelujah. So when that favor comes, as this come, people of God has to be the happiest people on earth. Happiest people in the world. Happiest people, and distributing that joy to their neighbors, giving that joy to everybody, you know. Not just, I don't know what's going on with me, you know. I don't know what's going on. I don't know if I'm going to live tomorrow. No, we are, because he lives, we can face tomorrow. Yeah. We have tomorrow. Our tomorrow is bright. Because Jesus is on the throne. He's alive and well. We keep our eyes on him. Praise the name of the Lord. So it brings restoration. Everything enemy had stolen, everything the devil has stolen, we call it back in the name of Jesus. Woo! Glory to God. Call it back in the name of Jesus. So that we may live according to God's will and God's purpose. Thank you, Lord. And so I just speak that grace of God over your life. And I speak that favor of the Lord over your life. I speak that grace of God over your life in the name of Jesus. And the grace of God over this church. Hallelujah. Let's pray for a minute. Father, we thank you. We bless you, Lord. You are God of miracles. You have never ceased to perform miracles. You are still performing miracles, healing and touching lives. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for what you have done for us through Jesus. Even as Mary, she was told to rejoice, Lord, that you are with her. Lord, you are with the church. You are with us. God with us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Father, for strength. Thank you for every encouragement. And thank you for healing. Thank you for restoration. Thank you for a touch. Hallelujah. We pray for more of you in our lives, more of you in this church, more of you in my life, Lord. More of you, Lord. Hallelujah. I pray, Lord God, with any brother or sister that may be having a challenge in his life, may be sick, or maybe just lost the joy of serving you. I just pray, Father, for restoration. I speak restoration in the name of Jesus. I pray, Heavenly Father, for divine protection. I pray, Heavenly Father, for healing. Healing of every heart and every soul. Have your way, Lord. Have your way this morning. Have your way. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Is it okay if I can pray for anyone who needs prayer? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. If anyone needs prayer, we can stand in faith together. Maybe healing or anything you need from the Lord, and you want the church to stand with you and believe together with you. I believe the church can stand together and believe together for your miracle. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Well, it's been a blessing. Wish it didn't have to end. Wish they could stay longer, take a few more services. We believe in this work. We believe in Pastor Justice and Margaret. We thank God for them. We thank God for the ministry that God brought about through Doris. You saw her in the video.
You know, I have to tell you something. You know, you see a magician on the stage, and he's got cards, and cards are, or birds, you know, or a rabbit out of the hat. But you know, while he's doing something, while he's letting you see something here, he's doing something over here, right? Yeah, that's how you can do it. It's called sleight of hand. And the devil will do exactly the same thing. See, I had just an incident just the other day in my own life. I know the move of God is over here. I know the will of God is right here. And I know I'm that far away from it because all of a sudden, the devil's showing me something over here. You know, the police may have shown up. And they may have been mean to some people, but you know what? Miracles still got did, didn't they? People still got healed. People still got delivered. The Word of God still got preached. Amen.
Amen. And the church was planted.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You've just seen the Word at work. You know, the gates of hell shall not prevail against my church.
Amen.
Amen.
I want Margaret and Pastor Justice to come and stand here. And I want us as a church lay hands on them. I want to pray for them this morning. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Come stand together. They are such a blessing to me and to this church. I appreciate their friendship. I appreciate their sensitivity to the Lord. And right now, Father, in Jesus' name, I lift up Pastor Justice and Margaret to you, Lord. I thank you for an increase in their ministry. I thank you for great wisdom, great knowledge, great insight, and great understanding to be able to continue to do the ministry that you've given them. Lord, I thank you for an abundance that they've never known. I thank you for provision they've never known. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to get glory through it all and that many more lives are going to be touched because of Doris, Pastor Justice, and Margaret, Lord. Their willingness to serve you no matter what. Lord, you said that many things would afflict us, but you deliver us out of them all. And you said, Lord, that no weapon, no plan, no attack, no device that's formed against us would prosper. So we thank you, Lord, that even though the enemy has a plan, your plan is in place. Your plan is greater. And they're going to prosper as they've never prospered, spiritually, emotionally, financially. And your kingdom is going to be propagated in a way that it has never been propagated before. They're going to see an increase, Lord. An increase. That's the word you spoke to me. Increase in their ministry, in the provision, and the blessings this kingdom is going to receive. Your kingdom is going to receive, Lord, because of their faithfulness and their commitment to you. We thank you and praise you. We thank you, Lord, that your hand is on them. Your anointing rests and abides within them because you are the anointed one. And we thank you that they love you. And we love them now, Lord. So we send them out, Lord, with our thanks, with our sincere covering, our blessing, Lord, and your blessing in a mightier way than they've ever known or experienced. In Jesus' name, we give you praise and thanks. Amen.
Amen.
Will you all be blessed. Continue in this great day. Amen. Hallelujah.